Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast, interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 125. Louis Milojevic, you're running for city councilor in Ward 10. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Joey. I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for the service that you're providing to our citizens and residents.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been interested and engaged in local issues and Ward 10 issues and citywide issues for most of my adult life and most of my professional life. It all started back in the late 1990s. I was a student reporter for the Stony Creek News. So I've seen my community and the city from that level. After that, I've seen my community from the perspective of a history professor whose job is to study change in community. I've wrote about those changes both in my community and in the wider city, in the Hamilton Spectator, but I'm also a small business owner in Stony Creek. I have that understanding of the community. My parents came here as immigrants in the late 1970s, hardworking, came from Yugoslavia. They quickly embraced the Canadian way of life and made themselves contributing members of our community. For them, in particular, my mother, Joey, I learned the value of a dollar, the value of hard work, duty, and contributing positively to community and city. And I really want to honor my mother's sacrifices for me and do a good job for residents.
Why are you running?
From the 2018 election results, we learned that 64% of voters in Ward 10 clearly indicated that they do not want the current incumbent to be their counselor. Ward 10 needs someone to be their champion, to be their voice, to be a strong voice in hard times. Someone who includes citizens in decision-making and who doesn't keep secrets from them, unlike the incumbent who stood by and allowed secrets to be kept from the citizens, like the Red Hill Parkway tragedy, the Coots Paradise cover-up. Someone who manages growth responsibly and respectfully with the direction of residents of Ward 10, unlike the incumbent who stands by and effectively ignores the views and issues of Ward 10. For me, I really want to ensure families, seniors, and small business owners regain their footing in our community and are never again forgotten or put at risk. I'm running because of the people of Ward 10 deserve someone to champion their interests. I'm also running because I know that certain decisions can have irreparable damage. Our green belt and green spaces must be vigilantly protected. I do not support urban boundary expansion into greenlands.
Do you live in Ward 10, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
Certainly it matters that one lives in the community they seek to represent. To represent means to speak on behalf of others. It's important to understand how issues affect the everyday lives of people in one's community. When one has a stake in the ward, such as a home, a family, a business, a history, places one frequents, it uniquely positions them to totally, you know, get it. It's the only way you're going to have solutions if you're integrated in that community. Parachute candidates, they don't understand that.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
I've been contributing, like I said early on, all of my adult and professional life. It began in high school over 25 years ago. I was a student reporter at the Stony Creek News. That's where I got my introduction to the community from an issue standpoint, but also a volunteering one. I remember every week my editor would send me to interview a community face, someone who was volunteering or just making a difference in some way. Exposure to that got me into coaching soccer, mentoring young people, committing to Big Brothers of Canada, and I just wanted to share my experiences with young people. I was also a member of the Hamilton Media Advisory Council, formed after 9/11, that worked to ensure fair media representation of ethnic groups in our community. On a citywide level, I've taken a particular interest during Hamilton's Renaissance era as both a taxpayer and as someone who's made a living as a historian studying change. I put my name on record and spec pieces on some of the biggest issues facing our city. And my family's also built a successful business, and we've learned the interests of our community through that as well.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 10 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
I think the biggest priority for Ward 10 right now is responsible and respectful development. Our community is growing with no regard for existing neighborhoods or the impact that certain kinds of developments have on infrastructure or public safety. For example, one just has to look at the new undisciplined growth in Winona. Growth should be done through impactful consultation and transparency. We don't have that right now. A second priority would just be reclaiming the services that Ward 10 is entitled to but has either been deprived of or saddled with substandard services. For example, lack of adequate public transit, lack of sidewalks, lack of police presence, inadequate speed enforcement, road repairs, and recreational opportunities for all. For Hamilton, I think we all know that we have to change the culture at City Hall from one of secrecy and willful deceit of our citizens to one of honesty. This will help our city rebuild its credibility both here at home and in the region and across the province. Through steadfast leadership and professionalism, I plan to serve as a role model, lead by example for what an effective and ethical councillor should be. And in the process, restore City Council's moral and ethical compass and instill in local politics the small town values that we had in days gone by in a local democracy. A second issue for Hamilton at large is probably addressing Hamilton's aged and crumbling infrastructure. We need to recommit to transforming the city core again. COVID has ravaged a lot of businesses, attracting investment back, tourism, bringing life back to Hamilton after COVID, and avoiding unnecessary and costly sprawl.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 10 on Hamilton City Council?
I think the first skill set is a familiarity with the issues. Having written about Stony Creek and Hamilton since the late 1990s, I know the history of the issues, I know the players involved, and I think that's super important when you walk into a leadership position in local government. Second, I'm a professional researcher. Historian, I've conducted award-winning archival research all over the world. I know how to find answers. I know how to find experts when I don't have the answers available to me. And I'm also a tireless worker and not afraid to champion the Ward 10's interests and keep them at the forefront of discussion at City Hall.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority declares confidential. With this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
I think that City Hall should have a default position of full disclosure on all matters that are entrusted with it. They shouldn't keep secrets from the very people they're elected to represent. I would insist on this as a councillor and maintain this high bar. Should council veer toward keeping secrets, I would be bold with my colleagues and can try and convince them otherwise. If they remain unconvinced in tandem, I would work hard to have new legislation introduced that prevents councillors from withholding information from the public. Too many people have died on the Red Hill, and they have their families and have paid the high price for this uncalled secrecy. I envision fiery conversations with councillors if they veer towards secrecy. I'm more than prepared to take them to task, and I can tell you, Joey, I have the courage of my convictions when it comes to this. I believe in full transparency, with the exception of issues involving matters pertaining to staff, as these tend to be sensitive and must be handled appropriately through the proper channels of human resources and employment law. We must respect the laws that protect people's freedom of privacy and information.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
The devastating outcomes of some councillors like the incumbent keeping the information about the dangers of the Red Hill must be reckoned with, and I'm counting on citizens of the ward showing the incumbent the door. Having said that, upon receiving the report, I would make it available to all citizens on my webpage or in any form they prefer. I'd be super proactive in that respect. On my own terms, I would read the report carefully many times likely, highlighting areas where we can make immediate life-saving improvements based on the recommendations. I would hope that any councillors who voted in favor of keeping the matter secret would do the right thing and step down. Where lives have been lost, the least they could do is that. And I would turn my immediate attention to supporting the implementation of any life-saving improvements to the Red Hill. I believe that taxpayers deserve to know the truth. I see no benefit of keeping the public in the dark. If an error was made, we need to make it public, take responsibility, address it, then change that so the error is never repeated.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities.
I think LRT has been a topic of contention for some time in both Hamilton and wards across the city. As an elected official for the constituents, I will respond to construction challenges and opportunities with an open and logical approach, keeping the best interests of Ward 10 up front. Many projects that are of that scale, like the LRT, often fail. The reasons for that are numerous, but it behooves us to keep a close eye on the project timelines and whether the implementation is on time, on budget, and with the desired quality of result. I will ensure my best to keep that on track. On another level, I've written about this in The Spectator, council has to ensure that the dealings with Metrolink, the provincial agency overseeing LRT, are made fully transparent to the taxpayer and to city council. A regularly updated public digital archive of all LRT communications, documented discussions, and decisions would minimize the possibility of bureaucratic shortcuts, political scandals, either of which could spoil the city's appetite for planned future phases of transit modernization. LRT has had such a divisive impact on us, Joey. Pitting one group against another is not good leadership. With careful planning, careful monitoring, solid partnerships with the private sector and other levels of government, Hamiltonians can have other issues addressed in tandem, such as the conditions of roads, sidewalks, transit needs throughout the city. Those are very similar issues to the ones that we need in Ward 10 as well.
What is something interesting or unique within Ward 10 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
I think our community's diversity. In the suburbs, there's often this misperception of less diversity than in the city, but we have people from all over the world. The suburbs deserve to have that recognized.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning, decides where housing and businesses are located, and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. Ward 10 has and will continue to experience significant population growth. During the past two decades, this has primarily been north of the QEW in single detached homes in the eastern portions of Stony Creek and Winona. The Fruitland-Winona secondary plan, approved a decade ago, will see further growth. Additionally, low-density, large commercial sites along Highway 8 and Barton Street are being converted to mid-rise residential, often by order of the Ontario Land Tribunal, which recently approved 11 stories on Highway 8. Growth is coming. Your job as councillor is to manage it to achieve optimal outcomes within the constraints of Ontario's de facto planning law, the provincial policy statement. There are three questions on this topic. Development in Stony Creek has been done without much thought to transit and without adding transit service. The result is growing traffic issues. What is your overall transportation management vision for Ward 10? Please explain how you will achieve the vision.
Well, I think transportation can't be an afterthought anymore, nor can development be irresponsible. I believe in responsible and respectful development, which includes citizens' input, would be complementary and respectful to existing communities, and would include as an integral part of any proposal a safe and efficient transport plan. Transportation plans should also be open to innovation and must be appropriate for our seniors, our children, those living with a disability, and anyone who has to get from a point A to a point B in our community. We've gone far too long without that kind of mentality, and our ward's transit has deteriorated. Critically as well, we have to better understand population growth projections and test them against regression analysis. We should not be developing on our green spaces for the sake of development as we are doing now. It's far better to intensify and repurpose lands in the city's core so as to bring life and investment back to the core of Hamilton rather than promote costly and unnecessary sprawl. It's essential to today's climate and for future generations that we protect our farmland and green space to promote healthy living environments and for growing our own food.
The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated citywide residential zoning bylaws. The primary effect of this in Ward 10 is the updating of local regulations regarding secondary dwelling units. Ontario's planning law permits SDUs as of right. As ward councillor, at times you will have to balance the requirements of the provincial policy statement with local opposition to planning proposals. What is your planning philosophy, and how will you handle contentious files which we know will be approved by the Ontario Land Tribunal if City Council decides to oppose them?
I think it's wrongheaded to allow planning proposals to be decided at the Ontario Land Tribunal. Where that is the case, it indicates a failure along the way. I believe that people are reasonable when given facts and when consulted on direction. My planning philosophy is based on inclusiveness, information sharing, genuine consultation with residents of Ward 10. I also know that we're not always going to make everyone happy, but my experience has been that when you treat people with respect, hear them out, seek consensus and compromise, the outcome is usually accepted and long-lasting.
The conversion of large commercial lots to mixed-use residential is occurring across Hamilton. Already, there are applications on Highway 8 near Millen Road and near DeWitt Road. The city is finishing sewage upgrades along DeWitt Road, which are 50% development charge funded. This means the city must approve new development in this area. Presently, there is no city planning policy specific to commercial to mixed-use redevelopment. What is your vision for this type of redevelopment, and how will you achieve that vision?
No matter what form new development takes, it must be, again, responsible and respectful development. An important step in responsible and respectful development is genuine consultation with the communities affected. Their needs, concerns, and views must be heard. In terms of my vision and new planning policies to respond to the mixed-use idea, it starts there with the people. Global effect and such a critical piece needs to be built into any new planning policy. I don't mean providing lip service, Joey, or stepping through the process for the sake of having said it's been done, but really listening so that necessary future development is welcomed or at the very least acceptable to affected communities. In terms of the notion of the 50% development charge, sewage upgrades, driving the commitment to develop, if the development is not right for the community, I will do everything within my power to test the assertion and halt it.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 10. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide 3 detailed specifics of your plan, and how will you respond to opposition to changes?
The thrust of my overall plan involves evidence-based practices. We can learn that from what has worked in other municipalities where road safety has been a problem and where it's been mitigated properly. Road safety is such a critical issue. The councillor ought not to assume that he or she knows best. Traffic calming, road design, safe neighborhoods, and all that goes with road safety has been thoroughly studied and implemented. I would ask staff to bring back the top evidence-based recommendations as well as outcome indicators for road safety measures that Hamilton ought to adopt and implement.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. There's not even 10,000 hours between the election and being sworn in. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
I would start by being vigilant not to learn any bad habits that presently shape the culture at City Hall. As I had mentioned, I'm a professional researcher. I've conducted award-winning archival research all over the world. I know how to find answers. I would look to best evidence of what works and what does not work in municipalities. I'm also very adept at reading and interpreting technical material that is oftentimes dense and complex. Oftentimes, the learnings and opportunities are in the details, and I know how to absorb information and apply it. I also seek advice from subject matter experts, people I respect, people who have integrity. Being in academia, I have networks all across academic circles, not just among historians and political scientists. So I know how to find answers on governance and leadership. And most of all, I would reach out to the community and get advice from experts that are out there and direction. You know, my bosses, after all, are the taxpayers of Ward 10.
What are 2 changes you will propose to improve city services?
In spirit, to take a zero-based budget approach, we need to have a long, hard look of how our money is being spent and why we are struggling to provide excellent service levels for the level of money that's pouring in. Savings realized through a zero-budget approach can be realigned or reallocated to areas where services are inferior or non-existent at all. I'd also insist on a scorecard of key performance indicators that would ensure that the services that we are delivering meet and exceed quality service targets that we set in consultation with the electorate.
What are 2 changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Well, I think the first one is stopping sprawl. If we continue to allow our city to expand out rather than up, it becomes unsustainable, it becomes more expensive, and it puts people at risk. The second one is maybe one that you won't hear that often, and I would work hard to encourage sustainable leadership. I know we can't change term limits, but the way leaders behave and conduct themselves on a day-to-day life and, you know, once they're before the eye of the camera has an effect on how people respond to the community. I think if a person who leaves after 8 years in office rather than 30 years in office inspires people. So I think encouraging term limits, that's sustainable leadership, reaching out to young people to get involved in the political process. Our local politicians are the closest level of democracy we have and we see on a day-to-day basis. So I think they need to do a better job of promoting local civics, getting people involved in the process as opposed to just relying on the same 35% or 40% of the people that vote every 4 years.
It's 2026. The public record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council? And what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
For myself, easy. Led by example, Joey. And then for council, truthful, accountable, professional.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
Joey, thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you for providing this valuable service to our community and to our wider local democracy.
And how do people find out more about your platform and connect with you?
They can stop by my office at 450 Highway 8, or they can go to votelouis.ca.
This has been episode 125 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.